And we're going to pick up in verse number 44, where we kind of left off last week talking about a servant last week, kind of ended with the greatest servant, Jesus Christ, and what he was doing with his disciples, teaching them to be a better servant. And a good example for you and I in Mark chapter 10 and verse 44. Let's pick up there, and we'll look at those verses there, and then we'll go on. The Bible says, "And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." Now, if you remember last week, we was preaching about being a servant and what a servant means. And Jesus came, He humbled Himself, and He put on the robe of flesh and became a servant. He didn't come to be served, He came to serve. And we see that very clearly, and He was teaching those disciples the very same thing. Well, then we pick up in verse number 46. There's a man here that I want to... Many of you have heard a story about Bartimaeus. I love this story. You find that in these other accounts of the gospel. And I love Luke's accounts, probably my favorite of this story. But I also love Mark's rendition of this story. Look at verse 46. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." So let's not get confused. Other parts of the Gospels, they will say that Jesus, as he came to Jericho, I think one, I can't remember which one it was, by Matthew or Luke, says that Jesus was actually coming to Jericho. This as if he's leaving Jericho. But what people don't understand was, in the Bible times, there was actually an old city Jericho and a new city Jericho. And I'm not sure which were actually Jesus was leaving and actually going to. Not sure if he was leaving the new city, going to the old city, or going from the old city to the new city. But one of the gospel writers put it as if Jesus was leaving the city and sees this man and hears this man and heals this man. And another as if he's going to that city. I've been to Jericho. Let me just say this. Jericho was not one of my favorite stops when we were over there. It's not a whole lot there. When I first thought about Jericho, how many of you think about the walls that came tumbling down? You can see the walls laying around. They're not there. And now they were there at one time, but you can't even see the ruins of the Jericho. That's all been, of course, centuries and centuries ago. But Jericho was a cursed city in the Bible. It was never a pleasant city. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. What's he going to do in Jerusalem? He's going to die. He's down in the bottom parts, down in Jerusalem, and he's going to ascend 3,500 feet upwards toward Jerusalem. He's going to be rejected by the Jews, betrayed at the hands of Gentiles, crucified on a Roman cross, and headed to his death at Calvary. As he moves steadily in the direction of Jerusalem, he's surrounded by people who cannot understand just who he is. Think about this. The Jews are blind to who he is. Though they tried to tell them, he tried to tell them and show them on many occasions. Even the disciples, we read that in Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 10, these disciples, they're blind to who he is. They could have seen him demonstrate his power and raise the dead and heal the sick, but yet they just could not see who Jesus was. Those around him could not recognize just who Jesus was until after he had died on the cross. So as Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, he and his disciples pass through this city called Jericho. The name Jericho means to smell or place of fragrance. It was a city that abounded in many fragrant plants like roses and balsam and cypress. Honey was found there in abundance. It was a very fruitful city. But travelers passing through Jericho were surrounded by many fragrances that really had a wonderful smell. And in that city, it kind of lived up to its name. Now, it does not smell like that anymore. It don't. All right. I don't know what it smells like, but it doesn't sound like fragrance to me. But it was in that day. Now, there would be a fragrance that on that day in particular because the rose of Sharon was passing through and the lily of the valley was passing through that day. And as he did, he demonstrated a great fragrance of the glory of God in the city of Jerusalem, or in Jericho. I want you to notice that on this particular day, starting in verse number 46, the roads of the city were jammed full of people as they made their way to the Passover to Jerusalem. Matter of fact, Jerusalem's population in the Bible days, in this time here, Jerusalem would have had about 80,000 people that lived there year-round. But in the time of Passover, that 80,000 turned into 3 million. Can you imagine a town that could only house 80,000 but 3 million people come? Could you imagine what the streets would be like? Could you imagine what the road to Jerusalem would be like? There was really only one way to get to Jerusalem in this Bible time. And all these people that lived all in that, they called it the Jericho Road, right? On the way to Jerusalem. We know that on this particular day, the roads of the city were jammed with pilgrims. All of Israel was on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover, and the road through Jericho was one of the main routes to the temple. People crowded along the roads to see Jesus as He passed through. And the people might not have known exactly who He was, but they knew that He was someone special. Surely the news preceded Jesus coming here. And earlier when Jesus had entered the city, He encountered one of the richest men in town. It was a little man by the name of Zacchaeus. You might have heard of him. Zacchaeus was one that was a resident of that area who was also a tax collector for Rome. And he climbed up in a tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And as Jesus was passing through, He called to Zacchaeus out of that tree. And He said, "Zacchaeus, you come down and make haste. I'm going to abide in your house today." And Zacchaeus became a Christian that day. He got saved. That happened right there. As I said, most people were blind to who Jesus was. Only a very few people that ever recognized the Son of God as He moved among them. But there was actually one man in that crowd that day, on that crowded road, there in Jericho, who received 20/20 spiritual vision that day. This is his story. I think it's one of the best stories in all the Bible. We observe this encounter between Jesus and the blind man named Bartimaeus. I want you to look at verse 46, and I want you to see Bartimaeus and his condition. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people," boy, there must have been thousands and thousands of people, "blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Here he was, in the midst of all these people headed to Jerusalem on this pilgrimage to go to the Passover. Thousands of people flocking the streets and maybe lining the streets because they heard that this man named Jesus was going to be coming through, and they were looking for Jesus. We see, though, Bartimaeus in his blind condition. He was a blind man. He could not see. Bartimaeus was blind due to disease and poverty and sanitary conditions in that day. Blindness was a very common thing in Israel in Bible times. And it is still today, but probably more so in the Bible times there. And here is a man who has never seen a sunrise. He's never seen a sunset. He has never seen the smile on a baby's face. He's never seen the beauty of God's creation. And Bartimaeus lived in a very narrow world. He lived in the world of darkness. Must have been terrible. Blindness is terrible. So he was blind. That's his condition. But he was also, there was more to it. Notice what else he was. Look at verse 46. He was not only blind, but the last word in that verse is the word begging. So he was a blind beggar. He was not only blind, he could have been blind, but he could have been very wealthy. The blind folks wasn't always poor, mostly poor, but not always poor. But in his sense, he was blind and a beggar. Bartimaeus was not able to go out and find a job. There was no social programs, no welfare programs to help him survive. He was forced to sit beside the road and beg for his living. When the Bible says that he was begging, it actually meant that he was constantly begging and asking those passing by to give him money. Bartimaeus lived a wretched, wretched life. I can imagine him being led to the side of the highway that morning, maybe to spend the day begging for alms. And as many, maybe used a cane to get there. I'm not really sure. Maybe someone led him there and just sat him there. But he would sit there as a pitiful man with a tragic condition, living in a cruel and heartless world. Old Bartimaeus, a living example of everybody in this room who is not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus. Like poor Bartimaeus, every lost sinner is spiritually blind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Some people ask me sometimes, "Preacher, does it not surprise you that so-and-so maybe says this, or this media person does this, or Hollywood actor does that, or what? Does it surprise you?" And I'll say, "No, it doesn't surprise me, because it's just lost people acting lost, blinded by sin." Bartimaeus had a problem. He might have had a problem with his optics, but the lost sinner has a problem with his soul. Bartimaeus had something wrong with his eyes, but the lost sinner has something wrong with his heart. Bartimaeus had used his eyes if he could have, but the lost sinner would not use his spiritual eyes even if he could. So there are some people around us who see just fine with their physical eyes, but they cannot see with their spiritual eyes. You don't understand. You may be sitting there right now looking and saying, "What is this all about? Why in the world can't we go home? This is the most boring thing. This is, man, the ball game comes on here, or the food restaurant is going to be crowded. You just are not into it. You never have been. You go through the motions." I'll tell you why. You're blind. My prayer is that God will open your eyes. See, you cannot see the horrors of sin when you're blind. They cannot see what their sinful deeds are doing to them. Hey, guess what else they can't see? They can't see the beauty of the Savior.
That's right.
They can't see their own sinful condition, but they can't see how beautiful Christ is. It's a very sinful, very sad thing to be. The lost sinner is blind. He cannot see God. He's deaf. He cannot hear God. He is a spiritual cripple. He cannot run after God. He has withered hands. He cannot work for God. He has a defiled mind. He cannot think of God. He has a stammering tongue. He cannot talk to God. He has a wounded heart. He cannot live for God. He is a leper. He's unclean. He's defiled in the presence of God. Worst of all, the lost man is a dead man, according to Ephesians chapter 2. He cannot sense God. He cannot feel God. He cannot know God. He cannot love God. He cannot come to God on his own. The lost sinner is in a tragic condition. Tragic condition, just like Bartimaeus was. But we notice in verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Verse 48 says, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more with a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." We see a passionate cry here. Can you see it? I hope you can see it in your mind's eye. I hope you can see it in your imagination. Bartimaeus just sitting there begging all day. He heard the crowds passing by. He heard the exciting voices of the people. According to Luke chapter 18, the Bible says in verse 36, he uses the phrase, the same story. He says he asked what it meant. So actually in Luke 18, he's hey, what's all the commotion about? He can't see. What's all the noise about? He can't see what's going on. So guess what? People told him what was going on. "Hey, I'll tell you what it is. It's Bartimaeus. Jesus is coming by." Why did he call out to Jesus? Some suspect that Bartimaeus had been hearing some things about Jesus. He might have heard how Jesus had healed some leper. He might have heard about the demons being cast out of man. He might have heard about the way that Jesus walked on the water. He might have heard about how he multiplied the loaves and fishes. He might have heard about how he saved old Zacchaeus. And of course, he might have heard about how Jesus restored sight to other blind men.
Right.
You know, Jesus actually in the Bible healed more blindness than any other disease. I find that interesting. People tried to stop this man. You know what they said? "Hush! Hey, why don't you quiet down? Why don't, Dave, turn me down just a tad bit. Why don't you quiet down? Why don't you hush? You're embarrassing us. You're making a fool out of yourself. Why are you doing that? They were embarrassed. He was out there crying out to Jesus. Out there in desperation. God, oh, Jesus Christ, Son of David, I need you. Please have mercy on me. You can just hear him wailing and crying. I guarantee you that Jesus had passed by your hearts at some point. I may have been it may have been in a song, it may have been in a sermon, it may have been in a personal witness somewhere, somehow, but Jesus passed by. And can I say this morning that I thank God that He does. I praise God for the day that He passed by my life and I knew who He was for the first time. I couldn't help it but to cry out until I got what I needed. Have you ever experienced that? You ever cried out to God and asked Him to save you? What a blessing that Jesus could pass by the place where this poor dead sinner was. And He passed through my life 27 years ago. I thank the Lord for that. It was a particular cry, because notice what Bartimaeus may have been blind, but he saw some things about Jesus that others did not see. Bartimaeus actually had come to see that Jesus was the Messiah. Look at what he calls Him. He says, "Thou Son of David, have mercy." Bartimaeus had taken the things that he had heard about Jesus and all, it kind of came together in his mind. He understood the truth that most people had missed in that day. He saw the truth that Jesus was the Messiah. And since he believed that Jesus could heal his blindness. May I say this, before a lost person could call out to Jesus for salvation, they must first understand who Jesus is. He's not just some teacher. He's not some poor fellow who got himself killed on a cross. Hey, you must understand, they must see that Jesus Christ came to this earth perfect and sinless, and He died for your sins and He died for my sins. They must see that He rose again from the dead and that He's the God of the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Hey, it's very evident that we see who Jesus is. In Romans 10, 9, "Of that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." If a lost sinner is going to see Jesus and understand who He is and what He can do for them, the Holy Ghost is going to have to show them. And that is why Jesus said in John 6, 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day." Notice, it was a particular cry, but it was a personal cry. It was personal. Because Bartimaeus cries to Jesus and says, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Did you notice that Bartimaeus did not try to demand his rights? Bartimaeus knows that he has no position to demand anything. He's seeking mercy. The word mercy actually means to bring help to the wretched. And Bartimaeus knew that he needed something he could not provide, and he had no right to demand. He cried out to Jesus, asking Jesus to help him in his wretched need. Today we have all kinds of activist groups and rights. We have people out here everywhere. Every time you turn the channel on, somebody's out there chanting or walking or marching or doing whatever, boycotting for their rights. All over the place. Some are good rights, some maybe not so good rights. But when it comes to spiritual things, I do not want my rights. I want mercy. You say, "Well, preacher, why not? I want grace. If I got what I deserved and if I got what was coming to me, I would be in hell today. I'm not going to go out there and say, 'God, I want my rights.'" Can I tell you, friend, I want mercy. You and I need mercy. I praise the Lord that mercy, in one thing, our God is rich in mercy. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 4, He's rich in mercy. It is His mercy that brings salvation in our life. I was reading the other day about a lady who she went to a photographer one day to get her picture professionally made. And when he showed her the proofs, she was very unhappy and angry at him. And she said this, "Well, I don't like that. Those proofs didn't do me justice." And he said, "Ma'am, what you need is not justice. You need mercy." That's pretty funny if you ask me. Pray for that photographer, right? It was a persistent cry. See, Bartimaeus is calling out to Jesus. He was raising a ruckus. He was causing an uproar. And the people were actually trying to silence Bartimaeus. They were trying to say, hey, you need to hush that word charge. If you go back and look at what they said to him, they said in verse number 48, "And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." What they were saying to him was, You better hush your mouth, blind man. Don't bother Jesus. He's too busy for the likes of you. But here's what Bartimaeus did. He just kept calling out to Jesus. He just kept believing that Jesus could help him and wasn't going to do anything that he wanted Jesus that was going to heal him. And he wasn't going to just do anything to allow Jesus to pass by without getting that help. You know, I think about Bartimaeus in verse number 49. Look at it. "And Jesus stood still." I like that. "Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." I love that verse. I love verse 50. "And he casting away his garments rose and came to Jesus." We see a personal cure. This man calls out to Jesus. Others tried to stop him. Others tried to prevent him. Others tried to tell him to hush. Others tried to say, "Hey, you hush your mouth. Hey, Bartimaeus, you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, you're embarrassing us." But guess what Bartimaeus kept doing? He kept calling out to God. And Jesus heard the cry of a poor, blind Bartimaeus. I love verse 50 because here's what it says. "And he casting away his garments rose and came to Jesus." Bartimaeus gets up as soon as he hears Jesus call out to him, throws aside his outer garments, throws them off. You say, "What do you mean? After all, he's blind. A garment might have tripped him up." What's Bartimaeus do? He gets those garments off of him. He might have had some blankets on him to keep him warm. I'm not sure what Bartimaeus, but he takes it off and he says, "I'm going to Jesus." Why? It could have hindered him. And let me just say this morning that if there's something here that may hinder you from getting to Jesus, you need to take it off. Get it out of your life. Swallow the pride. Whatever it is. You say, "Well, I've got this at home, and I've got that, and I'm worried about what so-and-so is going to think, and I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about that." Hey, friend, here's what you need to do before you leave this building this morning. You need to say, "Hey, I'm taking that off, I'm shedding that, and I'm going to the one that can do something about my blindness." And I thank the Lord for that. We see a powerful cure, because look at verse 51. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." You know, I often think that's kind of a funny thing that Bartimaeus asked Jesus. Jesus asked Bartimaeus in verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? What do you want?" You know, that you're asking a blind man, a man that can heal, what is it that you want me to do? But you know what, though? Bartimaeus could have said, "I want to be rich. I'm a beggar." He could have said, "Jesus, could you give me a job? I'd love to have some friends." He could have said a million different things because he was at the lowest of the low. But guess what Bartimaeus said? "I want my sight. I want to be able to see." It was a cure because it was a powerful cure. He came to Jesus and Jesus asked him what he wants, and Bartimaeus responds in faith. And notice what he says in verse 52. "And Jesus said to him, Go thy way." Or the blind man said in verse 51, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, Go thy way. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and follow Jesus in the way. We see a powerful cure, but I love this. We see a permanent cure. Because in verse 52, that word "whole" is the present tense. It means that Bartimaeus was made whole and he stayed in a whole condition. So guess what? Jesus didn't heal Bartimaeus in his blindness for a week. Jesus didn't heal Bartimaeus in his blindness for a month. Jesus did not heal it for a year or a couple years. And then Bartimaeus said, "Man, I'm going back to blindness." Jesus actually healed Bartimaeus forever. And by the way, when Jesus saves a soul, He saves it once and for all. None of this, "Well, I got saved 10 years ago, but I've been away from God and I need to get saved all over again." Friend, here's a great example of Jesus healing a man and healing him whole. Amen. And when Jesus saved my soul, He saved it completely. I'll tell you, these other religions and other things that teach that you can lose your salvation, that to me is the way they keep people. They keep them in bondage. They keep them grounded because, hey, you leave here, you're losing your salvation. My friend, it doesn't matter. Once you are saved and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. It's a permanent cure. And then we see it's a profound cure because in verse 52, "And Jesus said to him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. And here's my favorite part of the whole story that many people, when they preach this text, never mention. But I want you to notice the last part. "And followed Jesus in the way." So, Bartimaeus was healed. Jesus said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Bartimaeus, you're completely healed. And here's what Bartimaeus did. He said, "Jesus, I have nowhere to go. I just want to... You've healed me. I'm able to see. And Bartimaeus, Jesus, I'd just like to follow you." That day, not only was Bartimaeus healed of his sight, but Bartimaeus received his sight. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 18, I love Luke's wording of this same story. Here's what it says in Luke 18, verse 43. Luke tells us that he followed him, but notice this, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So here's what happened. Jesus healed Bartimaeus. His eyes were open. I can see his arms go up. I can see him say, "Oh, I've never felt like this in my life. How beautiful this is. Jesus, thank you, thank you." And you know what? He said, "I'm going to follow you." But every now and then in the back of the crowd, when Bartimaeus was walking with Jesus, every now and then you'd hear a shout. "Glory to God, I can see. Do y'all see that sunset over there? Do y'all see that sunrise over there? Oh, this is so wonderful." And everybody'd say, "Boy, isn't that good? Man, that Jesus is something, ain't he?" Boy, Liz, that's what Jesus does when He saves a soul too. He takes that old sinner. He washes his sins away. He puts the Holy Ghost in him. And then the child of God begins to walk a new path and a new life. He wants to follow Jesus. I believe that we see the theme of that in Mark chapter 8, in Mark chapter 9, in Mark chapter 10. It's becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. God doesn't care about your religion. He doesn't care about your good works. He doesn't care about who you are or what you've done. All God cares about is, do you know Him? Are you saved by the grace of Almighty God? Are you saved? My friend, this morning, I know this is most people that know anything, there may be some in here that you're not as familiar with the Word of God. You're not, you don't know the Bible, and that's fine. That's great. That's why you're here. But others of you that's been saved for a while, you've heard the story of blind Bartimaeus. You've heard songs sung about blind Bartimaeus. But you don't know. You're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're still unsure. You're still blinded by the things of God. You've heard the stories. You've heard preachers preach about it. But can I tell you, listen, it's one thing to know about Jesus. It's another thing to know Him personally. And that day, Bartimaeus had an encounter with Jesus Christ. An encounter. He knew something about Jesus. But not only that, Jesus... He began to follow Jesus. Hey, can I ask you this morning before we close? Is He passing by your heart today? Is He passing by your heart? Is He calling you to Him? Is he saying, and by the way, this is a whole different, because I was going to go a whole different direction with this message, because I know it's, again, many people have heard about Bartimaeus before, and they've heard about this blind man. He's in all the Gospels just about. But here's the deal. How many people passed by this man every day and did nothing for him? How many people walked by this blind man and they looked at him and would just snub their nose or walk by? I just started thinking about that too, that, you know, the ministry is all about, you know, we focus a lot on the masses and reaching the world with gospel and reaching our town. But how about that one? How about that one that needs Christ? How about that one that needs to hear the gospel? How about that one that needs clothes on their back and food in their stomach and needs some love? Hey, church, let's not just focus on the whole world, though we should reach the world with the gospel. Let's focus on the one that is in need now. And the one in this story that Jesus actually stopped and took time for on His way to Calvary was Bartimaeus. What a beautiful picture of what we should do as servants. Look at me. Servants. He came not to be ministered to. Because Jesus could have easily said, church, don't miss this. Jesus could have easily said, don't bother me. I'm going to do greater things. And people would have said, you know what? He is. He's going to save the world. Jesus could have said, yeah, that annoying man over there, someone help him. Give him a few bucks and just, I'll go on my way. But that ain't what He did. There's a pastor in Brooklyn, New York. He pastors the Brooklyn Tabernacle. His name is Jim Cimbala. He's a great man, great pastor, great author, wonderful preacher. He was given a story. Their church is literally in Brooklyn, New York, in the slums, in the ghetto, if you will. Very rough section, of course, in that city. And when the church first started, years, they were reaching lots of prostitutes and druggies and people that were just strung out, needed help, homeless folks come. They still do a lot of them. Matter of fact, a lot of people that sing in that beautiful choir have been saved out of that life. It's a blessing to hear them sing about what they used to be and what they are today. It's a blessing. He was given an invitation in that auditorium there. I think it was an older auditorium. They're in a big place now. But he said it was a little place, probably much like this when they first started. And he said it was just a little stair. It wasn't a big, huge platform like they have today. And he said that he was given an invitation. They were having several services like we do. And a homeless man was sitting on about the fifth row on the left side. And he was given an invitation. He comes out of the pulpit during the invitation. He grabs his Bible and he kind of comes. They got a little place and he comes down to the front. And he says, hey, if you need to come down for prayer or something, then you can come. And he made eye contact with this homeless man. This homeless man just fixed his eyes on. And the first thought that came in this pastor's mind was, this guy's going to hit me up for some money. That's why he's here. Called them panhandlers. They just come, they'll come to church, set through a service just to get a little bit of money. And he said, I was annoyed in my spirit. I was annoyed that a guy would do that. And he said, I'm going to get him out of the way. So the guy, he just motions for him, come on, buddy. And the guy comes, he said, as he got close, he said, the smell this man had, he said, if you think you've ever smelled anything terrible, it's never been to this level. He said it was a mixture of urine and alcohol and it was a mixture of just body odor, and he said, all together. And he said, as he got closer, it got stronger. The stench was terrible. The man was coming closer, and he reached in his billfold, pulled out a $20 bill, and he was going to hand it to the man. And the man pushes down his hand, and he said, I don't need your money. I want you. I want you to love me. I want you to love me. I don't need your money. I didn't come here for the money. I came here for someone to love me. And he said, as I stood there, right there in front of that platform, the Holy Spirit of God says, son, you preached the message today, maybe thinking people needed this, but you're the one in need. Because you looked at that homeless man through eyes of a, I've got it all together, kind of get out of my way, you're bugging me. And he says, but he's actually going to do something for you today. And he said, I began to cry, and that the homeless man began to cry, and they hugged their necks. And he said that smell that was terrible and just nauseating became a beautiful smell, because it's a beautiful smell in the eyes of Christ. Those are the people that he came to save. Now I think about often that story as I think about blind Bartimaeus. Probably smelled terrible. Probably looked terrible. Didn't have nothing. Hadn't eaten in a while. A nuisance. Loud. Gosh, hush. Gee, don't you know that Jesus is... Hush. But yet Jesus said, you know what, that's the one. Right there. That's him. He stood still. He stopped. Jesus stopped. Guess what? Every now and then, church, we get so busy. Oh, we got this program. We got this big day. We got this going on. We got this. Oh, the Easter program's got... Christmas has got to be great. I mean, everything's got to be... Oh, time out, time out, time out. Have we forgot? The ministry is about one. One. There's rejoicing in heaven over one soul. The power of one. Can I tell you, church, we need to start focusing on the needs. And let's not get burdened and I just don't know why they keep calling. They keep why do we got keep bothering? Can't we just get some people that have things together? No. Because if we ever get to that spot, we're no longer a church. We're a YMCA. This is not a social club. This is a hospital. We're about reaching people. The lowest of the low. The dirtiest, the nastiest, the muddiest, the ones that sin has drugged down deep and deceived. That's the ones Jesus came for. That's the ones you and I out to as well. That's the ones that Jesus loved. Let's not forget.